Church, please join me as we look to God and pray. Heavenly Father, we pray and ask, Lord, as we come before your throne of grace, speak to us this day. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. I'm sure for many of us, during this COVID season, one of the most difficult things that we have to deal with and to discern are the fake news. We are swamped, my dear friends, with so much fake information during this season, from how the virus spread to strange formulas for treatment. In the same way, the greatest challenge for Christians today is not the lack of good, sound biblical teaching, but rather the quick availability of false teaching. Information technology that was created for us was to enhance the way we live. Unfortunately, it has aided the spread of false teaching and the speed in which it is reaching us. Think about any topic right now, and the information will be available to you at a click of a button. While we are excited with how information is becoming easily available, false teaching is also becoming just as easily available to us. Take, for example, I came across this article. The author claimed that he found some letters written by the family members of our Lord Jesus. This suggested that Jesus is not the Son of God, not divine, and not crucified. The author later disclosed that those letters were actually none other than the book of James, written by James, the brother of our Lord. The author argued that James never claimed Jesus to be the Son of God in his writing. But that was not James's intention in the first place when he wrote the letter, because he was trying to deal with something else. The author also claimed that James was stopping people from saying Jesus is the divine Son of God. Well, the author took one line, this one line from the letter, took it out of context, and made this baseless claim. Sadly, the author was himself misled by a secondary source. It is crazy to imagine the speed in which false teaching is reaching us. With 51% of the global population connected to the internet and 40% of active users on social media, like it or not, we are swarmed with tons of information from the social media. Which is real? Which is fake? The question is, can you tell? We should not be surprised to find false teaching in our midst today, because our Lord Jesus warned, for false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform signs and wonders to lead astray, if possible, the elect. And that's you. Be on guard, he said, and I've told you all things beforehand. Mark chapter 13, verses 22 and 23. Paul too warned the church in Ephesus in Acts chapter 20. And Peter in 2 Peter chapter 2 also warned the church, there will be false teachers among you. My friends, we have been warned. Paul wrote to the church in Colossae to address the issue of the false teaching. Interestingly, instead of going on a combative campaign against the false teachers, Paul urged the believers in Colossae to be strengthened in their Christian faith, walk in him, and be established in faith. Verses 6 and 7. Does it make sense to us? If we want to overcome false teaching, we need to build a strong Christian faith. And we can do so by focusing on the four core basic building blocks of a spiritual life: word, prayer, life in the spirit, and discipleship. This is not the time to unpack what these things are, but I just want to focus on one thing: life in the spirit. Life in the spirit is a topic that's a bit neglected over time. How do we receive the gifts of the Holy Spirit? How do we exercise these gifts that God has given to us? And we hope in due time next year, this is a topic that we will cover at our pulpit and at our Christian education, so that we can be equipped with more knowledge on how we can live life in the Spirit. To build a strong Christian faith, my dear friends, we need deep-rooted foundation. Using the agriculture metaphor, Paul reminded the believers in Colossae to have a deep-rooted spiritual foundation. And he said, therefore, as you receive Jesus Christ the Lord, so walk in him. Rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. I want to first say there are no shortcuts. There are no shortcuts to building a strong spiritual foundation. As a pastor, the most heartbreaking moments for me are times when people come up to me to say that they have abandoned their faith. Pastor, I've enough. Believing in Jesus is easy, but becoming a disciple is tough. And that's what I hear most of the time. And they are right. Becoming a disciple is tough. But in the first place, our Lord Jesus never promised that becoming a disciple will be easy. In fact, he told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever who will save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Matthew chapter 16, 24 to 25. Clearly, becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ is hard work. I came across this beautiful quote written by a Nepali shepherd who led 25 successful expeditions to Mount Everest. And he wrote, the glorious moment to the top of the world that lasts a few minutes is the result of years of precise planning and dedicated training. That few minutes on the top of the world. And very often, for those who climb Mount Everest know that that few minutes could be just 1-2 minutes because there are many more people who are trying to come up to the top, take a picture before they have to descend down the mountain. We often seek after the moment of success, but we have forgotten that success is the fruit of years of dedicated hard work. For whatever reason, my dear friends, if some of you here today are struggling with your faith, with circumstances in your life, I want to encourage you, don't give up. Press on. And here's another lesson from a builder. A friend in the building industry once shared this. To build high, you need to go deep. To build even higher, you need to go even deeper. The purpose of the foundation is to provide stability, strength to the structure of the building. I mentioned some time ago that in 2015, we lost 30 church buildings to the earthquake in Nepal. But the country lost more than 600,000 buildings that claimed 9,000 lives in 2015. Later in the report by an international organization, it was discovered that most of the buildings in Nepal back then were constructed without foundation or with very shallow foundation. And the reason? They thought they never needed it. Can you imagine? They thought they never needed it. They had survived many earthquakes, and they thought no earthquakes of this magnitude would ever hit the country. Does that sound familiar to us? We sometimes neglect our spiritual foundation because we don't think that we will ever be tested. We don't think that we will ever face storms in our lives. My friends, have we taken our spiritual foundation for granted? To have deep-rooted foundation, we need humility. We need to set priority and we need to be committed to the process. Some years back, I met a retired Chinese pastor from Australia. He was here in Singapore to serve as a ministry intern. Yes, you heard me right. To serve as a ministry intern in one of the churches here. I was curious, and so I asked him, "Pastor, you pastored one of the largest churches in Australia for 40 years, and you are here serving as a ministry intern? Why?" Without hesitation, he said to me, "My spiritual foundation is shallow. My spiritual foundation is shallow. And I'm here to learn all over again." His answer so provoked and challenged me until this day. Friends, we're not dealing with a young believer, but rather a theologically trained man in his late 60s, who had pastored the church of a few thousand for 40 years, holds 2 master degrees and a doctoral degree. And yet, he said, "My spiritual foundation is shallow." I was humbled by his humility. His confession that his spiritual foundation was shallow prompted him to take action, to learn all over again, to be a true disciple of Jesus Christ. I want to encourage us, my friends, we need the same humility to acknowledge our spiritual shallowness. We sometimes pride ourselves to have lots of spiritual and biblical knowledge, but do we? We think we know a lot, but do we? We need to prioritize the building of our spiritual foundation, and we need to be committed to the process, no matter what it may take or require. Secondly, to build a strong Christian faith, we need to remain firm in Christ. Following Paul's teaching on the preeminence of Christ and all sufficiency of Christ in the earlier part of the chapters, Paul now set the context with verse 8 for the rest of his writing from verses 9 to chapter 3, verse 17, to counter false teaching in Colossae. And Paul said, "See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy, empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ." Colossae was a busy and a popular international trading hub in those days that provided a perfect platform for people from outside to bring false teaching into the church. Human philosophy, Jewish legalism, and mysticism. On human philosophy and empty deceit, it refers to worldly principles or values that are not based on biblical principles or values. Paul warned that such worldly values are empty deception. Now, here is the big problem. Non-biblical values or worldly values don't sit there and wait for us to examine them. They are coming to us constantly through our favorite TV shows, movies, music, newspapers, magazines, books, social media. We are being bombarded by all these false values, non-biblical worldly values, constantly, every day, all the time. So much of these worldly values have crept into our lives. What are we doing about it? On Jewish tradition, this included the legalistic practices of the Jews on circumcision, rabbinic traditions, dietary regulations, Sabbath and festival observations. For example, some false teachers insisted that the Gentile Christians in Colossae should be circumcised. But Paul refuted such legalism in chapter 2 by calling their attention to the new life that they now live in Christ through spiritual circumcision And you can find that from verses 9 to 12. On the elemental spirits of the world, this refers to the religious practices that these false teachers introduce into the church, which have the element of mysticism on items like food, special days, stars, planets, rituals, and angels. Paul refuted all that in chapter 2, verses 16 to 22, and he reminded the church that they have died to elemental spirits of the world and are being set free by Christ in verse 20. And now we need to deal with this issue on why Christians are so easily taken captive by non-biblical worldviews. Paul warned Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths." Well, the issue of false teaching is not just about the false teachers. It is also an issue of the hearers. And that's us. We are inclining our ears to what we want to hear so often, don't we? And we know that there's been a lot of teaching on prosperity gospel. It feels good. It sounds good. We are inclining our ears to what we want to hear. Because we will not, Paul says, endure sound biblical teaching. And as a result, we turn away from the truth of God and wander off in our faith. George Barna, a prominent Christian researcher who invested a large part of his life researching on the impact of on secular worldviews on the church, he warned of the steep decline of moral values in the church in his 2020 research, very recent one. His introductory statement caught my attention. He said, and I quote, "It certainly seems as if the culture is influencing the church more than the church is influencing the culture," unquote. His study shows that 60% of Christians surveyed admitted that they have embraced secular values on a daily basis more than the moral truth taught in our Bible. Secular values such as sexual relationship outside of marriage, lying, and even breaking the law. And all these have become morally acceptable by these Christians who are surveyed. Does that reflect us? George Barna commented, "Their stand is a radical and critical departure from the traditional teaching on our reliance on the biblical truth of God. As far as moral issues are concerned, these people are keeping an arm's length relationship with the scriptures." My friends, what is shaping our Christian faith? What is shaping our Christian values? Do we call ourselves Christians and yet allow our moral values to be guided by secular worldviews and not biblical worldviews or values that we are taught in Scripture? What is our stand on moral issues like sex before marriage, sex outside of marriage, pornography, backstabbing a colleague? While we all know that all these topics are morally wrong, what is our stand? And are we able to defend it through Scripture? Are we adopting a secular worldview so that we can satisfy our own carnal desire and worldly passion? Or are we willing to take a firm stand by adopting the biblical worldview in all the matters and issues of life. To remain spiritually firm and not swayed by the wind and deception and lies, we need to acknowledge that the Scripture is the divine inspired Word of God. Paul tells Timothy, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16. God has given us the Word of life. We need to acknowledge the authority of God's Word. That is for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. That the man of God, you and I, may be complete and be equipped in every good works. Scripture is like the GPS that God has given to us to help us navigate life on this side of eternity. Recently, the staff and I, we had our staff planning retreat in Changi. I drove, but I decided that I would not turn on my GPS because I thought I know, and I was very confident on the way to get to Changi. It was a mistake. I turned off at the wrong exit at the highway because of the new development. There were new routes and turnings that I was not familiar with. For a moment, I must confess, I was lost. So sitting in the car right there, I was thinking to myself, so embarrassing, the vicar's first retreat with the staff and he got lost. Thankfully, I was able to stop the car, turn on my GPS and get to the destination. Friends, we need God's GPS. We need God's Word to guide us morally and spiritually. So often we order our life and live without God's GPS. Sadly, when we finally decide to turn on God's GPS, we may find that it is too late. We may be lost. Relationships may be broken. Trust broken. Families broken. And so I want to encourage us, my dear friends, that before it is too late, we need to turn on God's GPS in order that we may practice our Christian worldviews in every aspect of our Christian life and in every decision that we make daily, that people may see Christ through us, so that we may be complete in Christ and be equipped for good works. Building a strong Christian faith will not be easy. But it is not impossible, my friends. And I want to suggest to you the way that we will do it here in this community will be we will journey together as a community, as a family, as a cell group, or as a group of friends coming together to support one another, to spur one another on, to help one another to progress, even no matter how slow or how fast it may be, to become strong in our Christian faith. And we will do that by becoming rooted in our foundation, and we will help one another to remain firm as a true disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, with humility, we want to come before you to acknowledge that, Lord, our spiritual shallowness. So, for so often we pride ourselves to be so great, but Lord, we are shallow. We ask for your forgiveness. Help us, Lord, today as we come before you to prioritize, Lord, this learning process, to turn on your GPS that we may be guided by you, both morally and spiritually, in all the decisions that we make in life. Help us to be committed, Lord, to become a true disciple of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you.